Hi everyone. Today we're reading from John chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with him. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" All right, so we've been in the Gospel of John for a long time, and here we are at the Passion narrative. There's one writer who calls all the Gospels passion narratives with extended introductions. And the reason he says this is that everything in these Gospels, it leads to this moment in time, the Passion narrative. Everything is like just an introduction to bring us to this point. Now, of course, that introduction is pretty important still, but this is what we'll be focusing in on because this is what Jesus came to do. And so for the next few weeks, actually, we're going to be going through the whole Passion narrative, Good Friday through Easter Sunday, in a sense, step by step through the Gospel of John. And so this passage starts with Jesus and his disciples going to a garden. Now, it's not said here, but this is the Garden of Gethsemane. And for whatever reason, John here doesn't tell us about the prayer in the garden, but he goes right to talking about then Judas. Judas knew that Jesus would be meeting or praying there with his disciples. And so Judas plus this band of soldiers and officers, chief priests, Pharisees, they all come to the garden here. Now they're armed and they're ready to arrest Jesus. Now, in a sense, this is all pretty ridiculous because in no way had Jesus ever intimated that he would be like ready to fight anybody or that he would lead an army or whatever. But here they are, this whole band of people ready with weapons. And so they come and they're like, "Well," Jesus asked them, "who are you seeking?" And he comes forward and it's like, "Oh," they say that we're looking for Jesus, and he comes forward, right? And he says, "I am he." Now, when Jesus says this, this is like should just ring bells for all of us. Jesus here is echoing the great I am. I am he, Yahweh. Right, Jesus is showing us his divinity in a sense here. And notice what happens here. Jesus says, "I am he." And in verse 6, we're told, when Jesus said this, they drew back and fell to the ground. Just imagine how crazy, how amazing a moment that would have been. Jesus here, who had been like really kind of coy about who he was, he's using maybe these different words, but he says, he declares, "I am he. I am God." And this whole crowd, people ready to fight him, people ready to take him down, arrest him, hurt him, they fall back, fall to the ground because they're like beholding the holiness of God in this moment. Jesus' divinity here is clear. I am he. This whole crowd falls back. What Jesus is showing in this passage is that he's very much like in control, it feels like. Right, Judas might think he's in control. These soldiers think, "Oh, we're here. We're going to be in control." But Jesus is in control. He is God. Now, what's interesting here is Peter, right? Maybe he thinks in the same way, "Oh, Jesus is in control." But he, being this rational and wise one, he pulls out his sword in this moment and he cuts off Malchus's ear. Malchus is a servant of the high priest. He cuts off his ear. And that kind of shows us a couple things about Peter. One is that maybe Peter was not meant to be a soldier. I don't know if he meant to cut off the guy's head, but he missed or something, but he cut off the guy's ear, which is kind of strange. But I think Simon Peter here is thinking, "We're not going to go down without a fight. I'm going to fight." But this is not what Jesus is doing. Right? Jesus is in control, but he tells Peter, put your sword back. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Jesus is God. Jesus is in control. But what we're told in this passage is that Jesus comes forward in verse 4 saying, knowing all that would happen to him. Jesus, while being God, while being in control of the situation, he is willingly surrendering himself to this band of soldiers, to Judas, to this betrayal. He is willingly surrendering his life to suffer, to die on a cross. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew about the trial that would come, the beatings, being whipped, the pain and the agony of a crucifixion, the nails in his hands, his feet, the thorn, the crown of thorns on his head. He knew all of that. But he went forward with it. He came forward willingly. He surrendered his life. Why? For us. So that he could have a relationship with us, so that we could be with him. He did this. He was willingly drinking the cup that the Father had given to obey and to follow. This is amazing. Jesus willingly going to this for us. And as we go into this passion narrative for the next couple of weeks, we're going to maybe repeat this many times, but let's remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And it wasn't just that like he was caught up in a wave. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. He was in control of this and he willingly suffered. I think often the point of our lives, it feels like, is to be in a place of independence, of control, so that we don't have to suffer, right? To make money and to get the nice and comfortable house and all that kind of stuff, so that we could not think about anything, any sort of suffering or pain or agony of any sort. But Jesus went the opposite way. He humbled himself to obey the Father, to show us the love of God. Let's receive that. Let's remember it. Let's pray that our lives can be a reflection of that truth as well. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you have come and that you came for us. And you did this willingly. You came as a baby willingly. You went through your 30-ish years on this earth willingly. And you, while being God, while being control, went to the cross, suffered and died for us. We thank you, Jesus, for that. We pray that we, with our lives, can reflect that as well, that we can live for you, God, and that we can be willing to surrender our lives for the sake of your kingdom, of your glory. But as we're in this passion narrative, remind us of your goodness and your love for us. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.